The issue facing the church today that we are considering is the subject of apostasy. And this is just one of the key passages in God's Word that addresses that subject in relation to the Church of Jesus Christ and its witness in this end time period. Last time, as we contemplated the opening verses of this chapter, we were particularly trying to establish the existence of apostasy and what exactly it is. And I think that both things are set down very clearly for us in these verses. We considered the fact that apostasy is a departure from the faith, from the truth as it is revealed in Christ, that God calls upon mankind to believe and to accept in faith. Apostasy is a departure from the faith. The faith, therefore, in some sense, defines apostasy in that negative way. It is what is being left behind, what is being abandoned, what is being divorced. And we saw that these are some of the ideas that are carried in that English word apostasy, translated from the Greek here by the word depart. The Greek word giving us apostasy just meaning departure from. Here, departing the faith. Apostasy is a devilish work. A devilish work of opposition to the truth, of opposition to Christ, of opposition to the church. It is a movement that is headed by the devil himself. No child of God, no church of Jesus Christ can afford to forget that. And yet it is forgotten, as is obvious from the words of the verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. It is forgotten today that the devil is the enemy of the church and that he is at work through multiplied agents to destroy the work and witness of the church. And hence the reference here to seducing or wandering spirits, leading into error and doctrines of devils. It has truly been a sad thing to observe the inroads that have been made into the Church of Christ by the very things that the Apostle Paul here refers to. The error introduced by seducing spirits, the doctrines, the teaching of devils, presented to the church, no doubt, by a man in a nice suit and able to speak very well, but still the doctrines of the devil. Still the spirit of error, no matter how well it is disguised and camouflaged. Apostasy is real. Apostasy is at work. And Paul warns Timothy here, who was at this point in the church in Ephesus, he warns Timothy and by implication the congregations there that this was a danger they needed to be aware of. Preaching against apostasy is not particularly popular today. For those who try to take a stand against the apostatizing trends of the day in the church, well, there are usually all kinds of names employed, and none of them very pleasant or flattering. We need to move with the times. But every time you hear that expression, the alarm bell should go off so loudly in your head. Moving with the times for the Church of Christ, for the most part, involves getting on board the ecumenical boat and being carried along by the tide of apostasy. That's what it involves. There is change all around us that is departure from the faith. And it's warned of here in this passage. Now, as we come to look again at the subject just now, I want you to observe here that this real apostasy, this departure from God, is warned against by God the Holy Ghost. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Apostasy is warned against by the Holy Ghost. Now, the first thing that we may observe here is that the Holy Ghost works contra the process of apostasy. The Holy Spirit is against apostasy. The Spirit of God does not condone or ignore departure from divine truth. One of the titles that is given to the Holy Spirit in Scripture by the Savior Himself in John 14 and 17, He is described there as the Spirit of Truth. That term, the truth, it's really just a synonym for what Paul describes here as the faith. The faith is the truth. The faith is the revelation God has given through Jesus Christ by His Spirit. If we think of that term, the faith, as relating to the written Scriptures, as it does, here is where the faith is to be found and where it is defined. Well, you immediately understand the role of the Holy Spirit in the revealing of the faith to mankind. It is He who has inspired the Scriptures. It is He by whom the prophets of the Old Testament and the writers of the New Testament all wrote and spoke. And as we examine their words, it becomes perfectly clear that the Spirit of God is against apostasy. He is against departure from God. Wherever you find that trend of departure, whether it is seen in its perhaps its most innocuous sense, seen as backsliding in the life of a Christian, seen in that conflict with the flesh and with the world in the life of the Christian, you will find the Holy Ghost at work. It is He who energizes and motivates that whole spirit of resistance to that which is sinful and wicked. For example, in Galatians chapter 5, and in that chapter, there is a prolonged dealing with this very subject. In the verse 5, we're just going to connect together some of the expressions of this chapter. Galatians 5 and the verse 5, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Now, Paul is making reference now to the working of the Spirit in the life of saints who are awaiting that day when they will see God, where they will enter into that hope that is based upon an accepted righteousness, on justification. So they are, through the Spirit, living and acting. We read in the verse 8, however, that they have been exposed to error and sin among them, and some indeed have been persuaded to embrace it. But Paul says, "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you in the previous run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" This departure from God, it's not of the one who called you, and it's not of the Spirit who is at work within you. He goes on in Galatians 5 and the verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." That internal conflict in the life of every true born child of God, where the Spirit of God is at work. He has come to reside in the new birth, and He is at work to fight the sinful inclinations of the flesh. He is at work to fight everything that uses the flesh as a vehicle, the world and the temptations of the devil, finding in our flesh a vehicle to tempt and to lead us astray. The Spirit of God is against all of those influences. And there is this conflict, this battle going on within the soul of the child of God. But the Holy Ghost, it is clear, is against these sinful, wicked influences. If we could turn, for the sake of an illustration, to Acts chapter 13. You will find there an insight into the beginning of the apostolic ministry of the Apostle Paul. He has been preaching and teaching for some years previous to this, but now he's being set apart as an apostle to begin his first great missionary journey. And in Acts 13 in the verse 2, as they, that's the church in Antioch, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Then down in verse 9, they get to the island of Cyprus. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. That's upon Elymas, the sorcerer, who had come in to oppose the preaching and the teaching of the apostle. And Paul now faces him, filled with the Holy Ghost, and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" And here is an illustration of the work of God the Holy Ghost, here seen working in fullness through the Apostle Paul, and there is a confrontation occurs, a confronting of error, a confronting of doctrine that is of the devil, a confronting of that which is in opposition to the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is against apostasy. We want to understand that. We saw when we looked in our study of the first issue, getting a word from God, those verses in Jeremiah 23, verses 32 and previous, verse 30 through to 32, where the Lord said on a number of occasions, "I am against the prophets. I'm against them." And all the way through the Word of God, there is this theme emphasized that God opposes departure from Him. He condemns it. He punishes it. It is something that He deals with seriously. And the Holy Ghost is at work, Paul tells us, to speak against this apostasy that will be seen in the latter days. Here is the working of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God identifies that which is to be separated from and contended with. He speaks to identify apostasy in order that the people of God might understand that God is against it. The departures that we see all around us in the visible church today and in secular society, the working of apostasy there to take man away from God, the Holy Ghost is against it. It is never of God the Holy Ghost to endorse that which is contrary to God and contrary to the faith. The work of the Spirit, by definition, is a work that leads closer to the faith, closer to Christ, and not away from Him. That is the work of the Spirit of God. And in that is seen the essence of His opposition to apostasy. Why is it that the Holy Ghost is against the modern trends of departure from God that we see today? Why can we be so dogmatic in saying that God is against these things? Because it is. The mission and the mandate of the Holy Ghost in the earth to bring men closer to Christ, closer to God's truth, not to lead them away from it. If you go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and the verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come," and you'll know that that is one of the great titles of the Holy Ghost, "whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Here is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. The ministry of the Holy Ghost is to preach and to teach Christ. Wherever you have something that is contrary to that, you have an obvious absence of God the Holy Ghost. For here is the definition of the Spirit's ministry. In all that the Holy Ghost may be said to do, He can do nothing but that which is a revelation of Jesus Christ. He shall testify of me. In the next chapter, chapter 16 and the verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. That's the work of God the Holy Ghost. In these days, in the Church of Christ, because of the abundant errors on the subject and doctrine of God the Holy Ghost, even good Christians are afraid to criticize something that is claimed to be the work of the Spirit of God. Because of the inroads made by the abominations of the charismatic movement, there is a check, and in some sense it's understandable. No Christian wants to be going contrary to the Holy Spirit. That's something we would tremble to do. But because there is not a clear understanding of how the Holy Ghost works, what He works, and in a sense of the strict limitations of His work, there is a genuine fear to criticize error that is presented as being the work of the Spirit of God. But the more we get into our heart and soul, the definitions of His ministry that are given in Scripture, that He is the Spirit of truth, that He can only teach truth, and therefore can only teach according to Thy Word, which is truth, the Word of God. He can only teach according to Scripture. He can only magnify Christ. He can only teach those things that belong to Christ. He shall glorify me. And where there is a departure from any of those definitions, you can be dogmatically sure it is not the work of God the Holy Ghost. You can bank your soul upon it. It is not the work of the Spirit. Because it is the ministry of the Holy Ghost to lead the disciples of Christ into a deeper knowledge of Christ, into a closer relation with Him, into a deeper understanding of the faith. And so He is constantly at work battling the trends of departure. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of revival. When we pray for biblical revival, and again, I always am conscious that when we use a term like that, we are using a biblical term. We are using a term to speak of a biblical concept, but it's one of those words that has been so perverted by modern usage. But the Spirit of God is the author of biblical revival, where the Church of Jesus Christ is breathed upon, resuscitated by the breath of God, by the Spirit of God, from the brink of death, and brought back to the fullness of life and vigor and power. It's the Spirit's work to counteract the deadening trends of apostasy. If we consider the faith as the source and center of true life, well, then the further that men get away from that, the more dead they become. It is the Holy Ghost's work to get us back into that close and vital fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ. Do you know something of the Spirit of God's work in those terms in your life? Can you say that God, by His Spirit, is leading me ever closer to the Savior? We look into our own heart, we see the backsliding, we see the departure trends that are there. But can you also see, and are you conscious of, the work of God the Holy Ghost battling that opposition in the flesh and conquering the flesh and going forward in the knowledge of God, making progress? God hasn't just called us to sit still. We're talking here about a tide that's flowing. A strong current in 1 Timothy 4. The current of apostasy. And you know very well that if you're caught up in a current, if you sit still, you're going with the current. In order to make progress, you have to fight the current. In fact, you have to fight just to stand still. Such is the onslaught of departure from God today that we need to know the constant working of the Spirit of God within us, so that we might go forward. Progress becomes all the more difficult the faster the current. And I tell you, we're living in days when the current is flowing very, very quickly. When a year or two brings in such changes into our society, such as men never thought they would see. It takes the power and the work of God, the Holy Ghost, just to be able to stand against it, never mind to be able to make progress in the knowledge of the faith and of the truth. Let me just point out an inference from this before we press on. That if the Holy Ghost works contrary to this process of apostasy and works and strives within His people to bring them closer to Christ, then it is indeed a serious sin that must be noticed. To claim support from the Spirit for that which is in effect apostasy. That is a serious thing. We need to be very careful about what we label as a work of the Spirit. When men label things that are contrary to the Scriptures as being the work and the mind and will of the Spirit of God, they commit a blasphemy. They commit blasphemy. There are those that will point to some of the trends in the church today and some of the errors and some of the false teaching, and they'll say this is the work of the Spirit. Many, many churches, there has been a redefinition of truth, a rebranding of error. It's blasphemous. Now, at what point that blasphemy becomes the sin that the Lord Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 12 and the verse 32 as blasphemy against the Holy Ghost that will never be forgiven, I cannot tell. Only God knows. But I know that it is a very serious thing, and jeopardizing the eternity of the soul, to brand something as being of the Spirit when in fact it is of the devil. And yet you have preachers today that do not bat an eyelid to claim whether it's in some revelation in tongues or in some other way, to claim that this is a prophecy from the Spirit of God and it's doctrine that's contrary to the book. There's a man who's standing on the very brink of damnation, even while he lives, for he is speaking blasphemously against God the Holy Ghost. This is a matter that needs to be taken very seriously. For the Christian, there should be a genuine, deep-seated desire only to know and to embrace that which is truly of the Spirit, and to reject every trend of today, reject every idea, every invention, reject everything that we are not convinced from Scripture is in fact the ministry and work of God the Holy Ghost. There's serious sin involved in making a mistake on that matter. You will notice, secondly, that the Holy Spirit gives express witness against apostasy in His Word. He gives express witness against it. The Spirit speaketh expressly. This is where the Holy Spirit speaks against wickedness. It is in His Word, in the Scriptures. Where may we hear the voice of the Spirit today? In the written Word of God. We know from the Scriptures themselves that they are indeed the words of the Spirit. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 11 of the Spirit of Christ which was in the prophets, and how He instructed them to write down the words of the Scriptures. Here is where the Spirit speaks today. The Word of God becomes the means that the Holy Ghost uses to commune with the heart. It alone is the authoritative revelation of truth. This is where especially the Spirit of God speaks against wickedness and against apostasy. In Acts chapter 28, you have again an incident in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, where the message that he has been preaching has been rejected. There is a departure going on in a very defined sense. He has been preaching, and there are those at the conclusion of his message that are set on rejecting the words that he has spoken. Acts 28 and the verse 25, and verse 24 tells us that some believed the things which were spoken and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. The Spirit of God, Paul, quoting this verse from the book of Isaiah, tells us that it was the Holy Ghost speaking. The words of Isaiah were merely a record of the words of God the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit has spoken in that particular text. And here again, as Paul makes use of them, but everywhere through the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit speaks in warning against departure from the Word of truth that is preached. Departure from the faith and from the truth as it is in Jesus. And from the very first warning in Scripture given in Genesis chapter 2 and the verse 17, where the Lord speaks to Adam in the garden and says, thou shalt not eat thereof, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's a word from the Spirit. And from that first word of warning against apostasy, against departure from God, right the way through the Scriptures to the very last page of your Bible in Revelation chapter 22. And if you look at verse 17, you'll find these words, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Again, a warning from the Spirit, warning against any departure from the Word of God, either by taking away from it or adding to it. Any deviation from the truth, from the faith, is warned against by the Holy Ghost. This is the message of the Bible. This is the message of the Bible. A warning against departure from God. And the calling of men back to fellowship with God in the basis of the gospel. Going on with God in their sanctification, becoming more and more like Christ. This is the message and the theme of the Word of God, which is, in effect, the testimony of the Spirit. Now you will see that there is one word in 1 Timothy 4 and the verse 1 to emphasize the nature of the word that the Spirit has given. It is the word expressly. There is a word from God. We have thought of that already in our studies in Jeremiah 23. There is a word from God. The Spirit speaketh. But He speaketh expressly. He speaketh expressly. The idea that it is in the word that's translated here indicates it to be a definitive word, clearly spoken, a word that is unmistakable. The Holy Ghost is speaking clearly here. It's the kind of word that would emphasize the difference between when we just mumble something under our breath or when we pronounce it and we are giving attention to our diction and to how we use the words and the volume of the speech that we're using to make sure that it's actually heard. We have the colloquial expression, "Read my lips." That's the idea that's here. The Holy Ghost speaks in an unmistakable fashion. God does not mince His words about what He has to say about apostasy. Now you ask the average Christian, and perhaps I should say the average professing Christian minister, ask them today, what is God's view on apostasy? I would shudder to think how many evangelical preachers today would even understand the meaning of the word, never mind of any knowledge of the process that it describes. And if some did recognize the word, they might be able to give a few hesitant thoughts about what they think it might mean. How foreign that is to how God has actually spoken on the subject, because the Lord has spoken clearly. You know, when God says something clearly, you can't mistake His meaning, nor can you, as we do perhaps when we come across unusual things, we shake our head and we say, did I really hear that? Or did I just imagine it? And maybe somebody has said something to us and the news has been startling. And you have to put them over it again. Tell me that again just so that I can be clear, because I'm not sure that I've got the right end of the stick in this whole matter. But there is no such possibility with God. There is no possibility of a misinterpretation. There are those who will say to those preachers that stand up and witness against apostasy, you're imagining it. You're reading far too much into the Bible. You're being far too detailed and far too imaginative. God never really said those things, but He has. He has spoken expressly. The sad thing is that even when God speaks expressly, there are many who do not listen. There are many who do not listen. Do not hear. But He has spoken clearly and deliberately. For it is the purpose of God to warn His people away from departure from Him. To warn them about the dangers, mankind generally, about the dangers of departure from God. Here is a specific warning being given to the Christian, to the member of the Church of Jesus Christ. Understand, this is something you can be clear about. This is not something that's left to various shades of grey. This is black and white. We can get the hold of what God is saying here. The Spirit speaks expressly. It is not possible, therefore, to read the Scriptures correctly And still less is it possible to obey them. And at the same time to condone apostasy. To not recognize it, or even worse, to be part of it. To try to explain it away. How often apostasy from God is explained away as progress. It is explained away as moving the church into the 21st century. Giving it a facelift. Giving it an update. But God calls it apostasy. It is not possible to read the Bible and not see apostasy. It is not possible to obey the Bible and not see apostasy and act against it. Obedience to the witness and to the leading of God the Holy Ghost is the evidence of being Christian. If the Holy Ghost is against apostasy, then every true born child of God will, to some degree, instinctively be against it and practically has a duty to be against it. Romans 8 and the verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now what's the very simple logic that that text develops? That if you are a child of God, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and you will be led by the Spirit of God. And if the Holy Ghost is against departure from the faith, then the Holy Ghost at work in every regenerated sinner will lead them away from apostasy. Someone has asked, are there any genuine believers, for example, in the Church of Rome? I have never been able to answer that dogmatically in the negative. The Church of Rome is an utterly, absolutely apostate church. It might just be possible that here somewhere is a genuine soul that is seeking Christ and has not yet even come to see all of the errors of the Church of Rome. But this thing I know, that just as it was with Luther and Wycliffe and so many, and Calvin himself with so many of the early reformers, they were converted even as papists, but their path was out. Because where the Holy Ghost is at work, He is always leading away from apostasy. When a church departs from God, the true church separates and leaves that apostate organization behind. The Holy Spirit leads the children of God away from departure, contrary to departure, and closer to the faith and closer to the truth. The child of God, therefore, should be one who is constantly, by definition, swimming against the tide, both in society secularly and within the visible church. Because the visible church has been dramatically affected by apostasy. There's departure from God on every side. But those that are born of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, will not be influenced by the trends of departure from God. They swim against the tide. In 1 John chapter 2 and the verse 21, we read there of the Spirit's work in this matter. I have not verse, well, the previous verses speak of the working of apostasy and anti-Christianity in the church and of division and separation, verse 19. But verse 20 says, "But ye have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Because of the working of the Holy Ghost, they had an understanding of these things. They knew the truth. And therefore they were able to identify the lie, and they were able to distinguish between truth and error and separate the one from the other because they had an unction from the Holy One. In Revelation chapter 2 and the verse 7, you have the first of seven repetitions of this statement. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Every man whose ear God has opened in regeneration is to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It is not possible to deal with the Word of God without, in obedience to that word, being against apostasy, because that's where the Holy Ghost leads. Every Christian must be against apostasy. Now, we're going to touch upon this as we go along a little later in our series, where we get to deal with the issue of separation. But let me just anticipate something of what we will look at in that study. God has called His people to be against apostasy. You can't be against apostasy and be part of it. You can only be against it from the outside. There is a need to separate. A need to be on the Lord's side today. To speak and act against all that is contrary to the truth and to the faith. I want you to notice, in conclusion, that this express warning is especially relevant in the latter days. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. In the latter times, or in the last days, our time. We are living in the last days. We are living in the very time that the Apostle Paul is speaking of here. The expression, the latter days in Scripture, covers the period between the two advents of Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 and the verse 3, the verse 1 and 2, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. We read of Peter in his sermon on the at the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 and the verse 17. He's quoting from the book of Joel the prophet, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And he goes on then to speak in verse 19 of wonders in heaven, and verse 20, the sun being turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Now what Joel is describing and what Peter is speaking of here too, as the last days, they began at the pouring out of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, but covered the entire period that runs up to that great and notable day of the Lord. And so he refers to the signs and the wonders that precede the coming of the Lord Jesus. That's the last days that Joel was talking about. That entire era between the advents of Christ. But the point that we wish to get at is this is our time. This word is for now, this word is for today, this word is for where we find ourselves at in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now because the Bible speaks, if you go back a page or two to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you will see there that there is a reference to the apostasy, translated here as a falling away in 2 Thessalonians 2 and the verse 3. And there is a process in view, verse 7. The mystery of iniquity or of lawlessness doth already work. That's the spirit of apostasy. It's already working, Paul says. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Here is a reference to the work of God actually hindering the process of apostasy. He who now letteth, or it's an old word just meaning to restrain. God is restraining this apostasy that will ultimately lead to the development of the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition. And he restrains it, working out under his power, his control, until, verse 7, he, that is the Antichrist, is taken out of the way or comes forth out of the midst. Until he comes on the scene, God is restraining things. And then the reins will be taken off. But the point is that there is a process going on here. There is a developing apostasy. And it's marching ever steadily towards that day when wickedness incarnate will be revealed in the earth in the person of the man of sin. The man of sin. An individual where we will be able to look at him and say, "Behold the man of sin." It's already working. But the point is this. If it was necessary for Paul to say to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 that the Spirit of God speaks clearly of apostasy, you need to know about this, Timothy, and you need to act against it, 2,000 years ago or thereabouts. Apostasy has been increasing ever since. We're closer to the end itself now. Then is this warning not more relevant to us today? Is this not a reality that the Church of Christ needs to be alive to now more than ever before? And yet because of the inroads of apostasy, we find that like the proverbial frog in the pot, the Church of Jesus Christ is less aware of apostasy now than at very many times in her experience to date. Because iniquity has abounded, the love of the many has indeed waxed cold. There is not the discernment of the evil things that are all around us. In fact, they're embraced by people who should know better, by churches that should know better, preachers that should know better, Christians that should know better. Here is a warning for today. Here is a message for today. A message becoming increasingly urgent as time goes past. As John wrote, again to go back to 1 John chapter 2, "Little children, it is the last time." It's the last hour. That's what he wrote. It's the last hour. We're in the end times. "It is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come," oh, he's on his way. "Even now are there many Antichrists." Many individuals who foreshadow him, who represent him, who do the same work. Whereby we know that it is the last time. Apostasy is to be seen everywhere, if we had only eyes to see it. And the more we know of the working of the Holy Ghost, drawing us closer to the faith, closer to Christ, closer to the truth, the more we follow his guidance as the children of God, the more clearly we are going to see the apostasy. The more extensive is our reaction to it going to be, it's going to become an appalling thing. It's going to be that which makes us sick, as it made the prophet Ezekiel sick, as it made Daniel sick, to consider the development of wickedness that he was shown in his visions and revelations. It's relevant today. This is not just something that's stuck in the past. It's not just something that was necessary for the days of the Reformation or for some time long forgotten in history. This is something for now. Dear child of God, you need to know this today. You need to know this now. And there will be a greater need to know it tomorrow and next week, because the tide is picking up pace. But
the Spirit speaks against it. Are we in tune with the Spirit? Are we against the trends of today? Are we making progress into the truth and into the faith? May the Lord give us eyes to see the departure, to be appalled by it, appalled enough by it to separate ourselves from it and want to have nothing to do with it. May God give us an ear for the Spirit and for His Word at this time.